is our bitch, the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, finally, people will see Mr. O'Keefe for what we knew him to be.
If we can go and take inmates, for instance, the 20,000 inmates.
Now, administration officials say this would not apply to defense-related programs.
We have an impact on the illegal issue.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
What do you, this is assault.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about but takes you through the looking glass of the talk radio and the media experience. The Alice in Wonderland of all talk shows. The world famous, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. And go to our website and get a subscription and figure it all out, baby. Figure out what's going on. You know, figure out what's going on behind the scenes. Check out our video. I got people, friends of mine, saying, what are you doing with that vest? I said, what do you mean? Well, I mean, I look at the video and there you are getting pissed and you're happy and you're this and you're that. And there's all this stuff from behind the scenes and people are looking at you losing your mind. And one day you're giddy as a schoolgirl and the next day you're as down as Hitler in the bunker. And it's just, it's too much, man. It's too much. I said, that's it. That's the reality show. That's the part of our show that's the reality show. It's the video stream. I said, yeah, but it's just, you know, I said, you're watching it, aren't you? He goes, yeah, I just want to see what shirt you're wearing every night. I said, okay. Because you're taking my fashion tips from me? He says, yeah. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And again, visit us online there at philhendryshow.com. We haven't talked about gay marriage in a long time, which is a blessing. You know, with all due respect, There's only so much of that civil rights stuff you can hammer and keep hammering, if you'll pardon the expression, hammer, until people are just, you know, like fit to be tied. So the gay marriage issue is in the federal courts, if anybody's interested. And, you know, it was something that we talked about on the show. We said, you know, if you really want to have this thing go forward, you're going to have to do it the way that the civil rights people did it in the 60s. You have to go to the federal courts. So that's what they did. Lawyers for Prop 8 here in California went to federal court and they sued the state of California, essentially saying that the same-sex ban on marriage in California is unconstitutional, that is, federally unconstitutional. Now, states have individual state constitutions. Those constitutions are subservient, if you will, to the national or the federal charter, which is the U.S. Constitution. There's nothing in a state constitution that can deny a citizen what is granted that citizen by our federal constitution. So, for instance, you can't introduce slavery into a state because it has been since outlawed federally. And so forth. So if there are rights that extend to us through our federal charter, they cannot be denied us by a state charter. So the head of a family values group testified in this federal trial today. And this man is David Blankenhorn, and he's the president of the Institute for American Values, which they call a private think tank, and it's located in New York. And when they say something is a private think tank, it basically means we're thinking, but we better be thinking along certain lines, you see. you guys in there thinking, right? Well, I had a thought. It would have better be the right thought. Otherwise, we don't want... This is a think tank, but it's not like just... You're not thinking of everything, you know. We want this thinking to be a... See, think tanks are where you think. And what you're doing is you're conceptualizing. And you're coming up with ideas and concepts and ways of doing things. And a truly nonpartisan, if you will, think tank. I can't even for the life of me imagine why any think tank would be partisan in any way. Because that, by definition, destroys the whole, spontaneous nature of coming up with ideas, of creating and discovering ideas. So if you have a think tank that's partisan, see, it's kind of like having an editorial policy at a radio station. You say to your talk show hosts, we want you to be conservative. Well, what if I change my mind one day and I want to be a liberal? Then you're fired. All right, okay. I guess that's Maybe that's not a good example.
No, I was going to say it's not, you know.
Yeah, because you can fire a man, but a think tank, you know.
Well, in any event. So anyway, this cat was there on trial. No, he wasn't on trial. He was a witness there in this lawsuit. This man, David Blankenhorn, president of the Institute of American Values. Anyway, he took the stand as the second and final expert witness for the defense in the federal trial challenging California's ban on same-sex marriage, the defense in this case being California. Lawyers for Proposition 8 sponsors are trying to prove the voter-approved measure serves a legitimate public purpose, that the voter-approved measure serves a legitimate public purpose. Lawyers for. Now, which side was that, man? In any event. If we move toward a widespread adoption of same-sex marriage, the effect will be to significantly further and in some respects culminate the process of the deinstitutionalization of marriage. This guy Blankenhorn from the Institute of American Values is saying same-sex marriage will destroy marriage, period. Now, this is a witness that was called by the defense. By God, if this isn't the most biased opinion, hi, I'm from the American Values Institute, and I think that gay marriage is going to destroy traditional marriage. Well, no kidding. Well, thank you very much. He acknowledged that heterosexuals were responsible for rising divorce and out-of-wedlock birth rates, but said allowing gays to marry could accelerate the process. This is one of the most gutless arguments that people who are opposed to same-sex marriage use. This is about as gutless an argument as it gets. Yes, heterosexuals are destroying marriage, but by putting gays in there, it's going to get even worse. So let's just let heterosexuals do what they want with marriage, and that is essentially destroy it. And the gay people are left out. God knows, maybe they would improve things, but no, they couldn't possibly improve things because as stupid and as degenerate and as slipshod and as cavalier as straight people have been with marriage, gay people are going to be worse. So we will retain the right to destroy, to eviscerate, to leave bleeding in the street, the Institute of Marriage, because we're straight. We get that right, but you gay folks, even if you possibly could improve it, you'll never get to prove that because we're not going to let you. God knows we can't let you. Having said what we said about you, if we let you people get married and we actually see an improvement on the numbers of people staying married, what does that make us straight people look like? So there's an agenda, although I don't think there's anybody's actually thought of this, to be honest with you. I think the scattershot approach that the anti-gay marriage people have taken is really so scattershot and so fractured. I don't think they know what the right hand and the left hand are doing. I think they say something utterly morally repugnant like, yes, of course, divorce is accelerating with straight people, but it'll get worse with gay people. Completely unable to defend themselves if one were to say, and what do you do if gay people are allowed to get married and the statistics improve? What does it say about straight people? Well, it won't happen because I'm from the Institute of American Values. And you're closeted? Yes, I am. But I am married to a woman and I love her breasts. All right, so anyway, the evidence phase of the trial, the first in a federal court to examine the U.S. Constitution prohibits denying gays and lesbians the right to wed, is expected to wrap Wednesday. Chief Judge U.S. Judge Vaughn Walker, who is hearing the case without a jury, said he will then take a few weeks to review the testimony. Now, the interesting thing about the trial is Prop 8, as you know, denies same-sex marriage. David Boyce and Ted Olson, who were on opposite sides during Gore versus Bush, have joined and are representing the same-sex couples who have sued to overturn Prop 8. So you have the lawyer for George Bush, Ted Olson. I believe it was Ted Olson. And you have the lawyer for Al Gore, David Boyce. And these two men have joined together on the same team, you know, suing on behalf of the plaintiffs. And they're suing the state of California's Prop 8. So it's a very, really interesting trial, in my opinion, and it's also the beginning phase of this federal trajectory. You know that the gay rights thing is taking what?
What was that mean? Trajectory?
Just the flight, you know. Just the trajectory is like the flight of the
like a football.
Yeah, like a football. You guys are falling asleep. Get out of here. You're not going to listen to this.
Well, I don't want any of the stuff you talk about, think tank and everything.
All right, never mind. 877-876-PHIL. Coming back, Arnold Schwarzenegger wants to ship all of the illegal immigrants back to Mexico. Nothing wrong with that. Well, he wants to have them imprisoned in Mexico. Nothing wrong with that. Well, he wants us to build the prison. I guess there's nothing wrong with that either. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, and every night till 1 o'clock here on the West Coast, the El Pacifico, and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and I guess we had to give a weather update or something, bud. Right?
I ain't been outside. You have, right?
Yeah, it's cloudy and everything, and but it wasn't raining.
It ain't raining now, but all last week, you know, people ought to know, because all last week it was coming down in buckets. It wasn't coming down in buckets, man. It was coming down in. I don't know. What's bigger than a bucket? I don't know, you know?
The Superdome.
In any event, we had all kinds of rain, and it was flood season, too. Now, today, everything has been chill, but look to me like maybe things are going to start opening up again. So, I don't know. It's wintertime, and like I was saying, it's wintertime in California. It comes down like you wouldn't believe, you know, like cats and dogs. And that's where it's at. And we, you know, we have to live with it. And I like I said on a show last week, I said, and these meteorologists out here, you'd think that, this is the most important thing that's ever happened, the fact that we got some rain in California. We got some rain, and, you know, the usual stuff's going to happen. If you didn't check out, you know, what kind of ground conditions existed under your house when you bought it, you're damn sure going to find out now. Gee, I wonder if we're on bedrock. Whoa! Yeah, well, guess not. You know, nowadays, when you buy a house in California, you want to do a report. You want to see the whole deal. What is the thing built on? Okay, what are we on? Are we on bedrock? Are we on... What the hell are we on? You know, if this house decides to just go, boom, right down the side of a mountain, I'd like to know. Back in the day, people bought houses. They didn't know what the hell, man. Next thing you knew, your house, which was on top of a mountain, is now sitting on the freeway someplace. So I don't know whether we're still having those problems. I've kind of, just sort of blanked all of those out. I do know we still have the storms on the ocean. What the hell are you going to do? You put up the sandbags. That's the end of that. The only problem we have with storms in California, the winter storms, is that in a city where most people are in cars, most human beings are in automobiles, and you can't go from here to there without a car, we just forget how to drive when it rains. So hopefully that will improve at some point, someday, somewhere down the road, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years from now. All right. A Santa Clarita, California councilman calls himself a proud racist. That's right. In Santa Clarita, California, Santa Clarita, just up the road here from Los Angeles, up kind of North L.A. County, in a heated speech at an anti-immigration rally, a Santa Clarita city councilman called himself a proud racist, a comment that has outraged some residents and political opponents. Bob Keller, who served on the Santa Clarita Council for 10 years, made the remarks at a January 16th rally in Santa Clarita, attended by anti-illegal immigration groups and posted on YouTube. Keller stood by his remarks in an interview, saying they reflected his frustration with illegal immigration but weren't intended to express animosity against non-whites. He said, "It doesn't mean I'm going to saddle up horses at midnight." Let's listen now to Bob Keller, Santa Clarita City Councilman, saying he's not ashamed of being called a radical because he wants to address the problems of illegal immigrants.
Folks, we haven't even touched on the illegal issue. We haven't even touched on it. It's huge. And we have got to wake up, America, and I know you guys are engaged and you understand. But I'm telling you, this is serious. And if I sound like a radical, thank you. I consider that a compliment.
All right, so he's not in trouble there. If you're a radical, you're a radical. And if he says you got to deal with an illegal immigration problem, well, that's one way of looking at life. We got a big problem with illegal immigrants? Not a problem. Now here is where he gets into trouble for a couple of reasons that we'll explain.
Roger, a moment ago I mentioned what Teddy Roosevelt said. And he was right on. One flag, one language. You know, I backed it up and I read that comment by Teddy Roosevelt at one of our council meetings a couple of years ago. I said, folks, this is important. And you know, the only thing I heard back from a couple of people, Bob, you sound like a racist. I said, that's good. If that's what you think I am, because I happen to believe in America, I'm a proud racist. You're darn right I am.
Now, let me tell you why that guy's an idiot. If he has a message message that he wants to move forward. If he's a guy serious about a political life, and he wants to engage and keep people engaged in what is important to him, what he feels is important for the country, then he has to understand what words are charged enough to slow his political progress down. The word racist, everyone understands, means someone who believes a race has psychological, psychiatric, physiologic superiority over another, or one is inferior to another, almost as if they're different species, right? And here's a guy who went ahead and let his opponents define him as a racist, so he's an imbecile. And Mr. Keller, I predict, is going to have to either come out and clarify, which is what these people call it now. They don't say it's apologizing. And I don't necessarily agree with the word apologize because he meant what he said. But he could say something like this. Instead of apologizing, he could say something, folks, I was too stupid to understand what racist is. You never hear anybody say that. What would be worse, a guy apologizing or saying he's an idiot?
Well, I mean...
What do you think, Robert?
Well, I mean, I'd rather... What do you mean? I'd rather apologize.
You'd rather apologize than say you're stupid?
Yeah.
All right. So if Bob Keller comes out and says, I'm sorry for using the word racist, I misspoke, you think that sounds less destructive, less injurious to him than coming out and saying, I was too stupid to know what it was I was saying?
Yeah.
Well, see, I just...
You don't agree with it?
No, I don't agree with that. I don't see it the same way. I think coming out and saying, I'm sorry, I misspoke, I think that makes you sound like a real punk and sissy and, you know, all those other things that he's probably against as well, gay. And I don't think it makes him sound as if he knows what he's... I think he should have said, you know what, I'm just a regular guy, I'm running for office, but I'm not that bright. And a racist is, you know, I thought it wasn't that bad because I bull with a lot of them. And I don't know what, you know, you might as well come out and say it now, Bob, because sooner or later somebody is going to make you look like you're standing there with your pants around your ankles. I don't know whether it's going to be happening at the Santa Clarita City Council meeting, whether it's going to be at the assembly level, whether you're going to get to the Congress of the United States. But sooner or later, with a brain like yours, someone is going to make you look stupid if they haven't already. And just because you got a whole bunch of people wrapped in red, white, and blue bunting, and they're all standing around the barbecue waiting for the ribs to get done, and they just think you're the greatest thing that ever happened since canned beer, don't necessarily make it so, man.
Canned beer. When did they not have canned beer?
They didn't have canned beer like at the turn. What do you mean, when did they not have canned beer? You had to go down to the bar and get it in a bucket.
My mama told me about that, and she said it wasn't out in the can.
They had to put it in a can. What did they put it in?
A bucket, I tell you. A bucket. You went down to the bar, filled this up with beer.
That's ridiculous.
Maybe. What do you think all of a sudden, what do you think the first monk that made beer said, I know, let's put it in a can, and here's a can opener? No.
I know they had it in a barrel.
Why are we talking about this, you jackball? Take that and get out of here.
Talk about racism.
All right, our number 877-876, yeah, I know I was talking about racism, 877-876-PHIL. So tomorrow night, Obama's going to give the State of the Union address, and I just wanted to make something clear that a couple of people here that I know, and I don't want to mention any names, bud, State of the Union address is constitutionally required. The president has to give this, okay?
I know that.
Yeah. It isn't like he wants to grandstand. It's not like he wants to stand and say, well, here, I'm going to do it. Every year, the president of the United States is required to deliver a State of the Union address. That's in the Constitution, and so that's why they do it, and that's what Obama's going to do. And this guy, whatever his name is, Wilson, the guy who said you lie, he promised that he won't say it. Obama said he has a comeback for him if he does. Obama said he's going to say you lie face down. So,
oh, man,
I know. So we'll wait for that to happen. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the number here. If you want to Twitter, you can twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. That's where you go. That's the Twitter site that's run by our staff, Robert and Bud and Rance and Rodriguez. You can also go to my Twitter page, which I haven't been on in like 3 weeks, twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. And our Facebook page is facebook.com, Phil Hendry, and our website, philhendryshow.com. Those are all the places you can stay in touch with us on our show. And we will be, as I say, unveiling our new web design, including our new news feed, very soon. 877-876 here on the Phil Hendry Show. So we'll talk about Obama and his State of the Union. Coming up, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We want to give... you know, in this segment, we're just going to do a very quick recap of what's new in Haiti. You know, in other words, what's the problem now? We've been, you know, sort of kicking around a lot of different ideas and names for this thing. Haiti. Is it more money or what? You know, Haiti. It still sucks. And now what appears to be the problem is that Haiti's government, they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They couldn't find it with both hands. They're not bad people. They're just, they're clueless, you know. These guys have been sitting there in a police station. The guys that run Haiti, they've been sitting in a police station because the government building is garbage. You've seen pictures of it. I mean, it's just one big garbage dump now. And they have been collecting casualty figures, and that's great. And they're trying to figure out how many people died. Okay. And I still want to know whether what I heard our very good, close, personal friend Anderson Cooper, who we send hate mail to, when he said 20,000 people a day are dying, I haven't heard that verified anywhere. That's the kind of reporting that I've come to know and love from just about every media outlet that ever existed. 20,000 people dying. Well, are you sure about it? No, we're not sure, but... So, yeah, 20,000 people a day, huh, Coop? Let's get that one going. And when you're not yucking it up there with Gary Tookman and the rest of the crew... So, are there 20,000 a day dying? Why would we know? Why would we don't know? Is it Haiti's government? We have no idea. Apparently, they need tents. Now they got to get tents. Can we get some tents? We got $61 million. Anybody want to buy any tents? Who's in charge of ordering the tents? See, when I say, and I hire Alicia Keys and a bunch of people to sing songs, and the tears just start to flow, and the lighting is gorgeous, and everybody stands there and gives a speech, that's fine. Now comes the money, and we got just bags of money. Now the guy says, we have money, here it is, $61 million. Well, I don't know. Well, what do you mean you don't know? Well, I know they need, what do they need? Can't you? I'm not going to do it. I raise the money. I'm George Clooney. I have a TV. I got to get on with life, right? Okay. You got to figure, what do they need? They need tents. Well, go to what do you do? A tent place, I guess. Big Five? What do you mean Big Five? They need big tents, man. Now, who's in charge of buying the big tents? The government of Haiti is. Here's $61 million. Go buy. What do they want the big tents for? They want the big tents for people to live in. The rains are coming, the monsoons, whatever the hell. And it's going to be wet and wicked and wild, baby, and they want to have some protection, right? They even need big tents, quite frankly, so that the government can have a place to work. I mean, they got no buildings anymore. Tents. This is Haiti. It's going to be tent city, man. So... who's in charge of buying that? Well, once you raise the money, you go to the government, you say, well, here's some money. And what do we do? You got to, what do you mean? What do? You're the president. I know. I don't know, man. I bet you they're crying right now. So you need tent. Yeah. Well, go buy some tent. Who do I buy tent? I don't know. Get on the phone and call someone. Is there anybody that makes tents? Is there a cat in France? You guys speak French. Call France. What about America? Sure, I guess we got some tent makers. I don't know how big they make them. Ringling Brothers might be a start. But you see what and then the guy says, what else do you need? Well, we need, for instance, we need water. All right, water. Okay, who goes and orders the water? I don't know. Well, who would that be? It would be the Minister of Water. Where's he? Well, you know, he's looking at his house, which is falling apart. He's trying to dig his kids out of there. I'm telling you, man, they got more you and I can't even imagine. They don't have anybody down there that knows to buy. They got all the money in the world, but they still don't know where to go to get a tent, water. They need to have hospital equipment. Who's ordering the stuff? They don't know. And today, this is the message. Like I didn't know already. You know, this is the best way. Well, you know, who's in charge? That's day 15. CNN's laying that one on me. If you guys are going to be the only cats down in Haiti covering this, and you're doing a pretty good job, CNN, why don't you tell me something that I haven't already figured out 3 days before you reported? You know, I got Anderson Cooper standing down there staring at the camera like a puppy dog, and he says, I can't get the, you know, this is terrible. There's the supplies aren't coming into town. And I said, well, why don't you get into that CNN van, Jack, and drive down there and bring that stuff yourself? Now, that's a story. And I'll tell you something else, Coop. As long as we're on the subject, if you're such a balls-out, gutsy reporter like everybody says you are, then you should be standing in front of that camera every night talking about the Haitian government's failure to serve its people. I mean, you should be ripping them an ass. Don't be standing there saying, who's in charge? What's going on? Well, it's very confusing. They have the food, but they don't have the water. They have the water, but they don't have the money. They have the money, but there's no motor oil. And you're just sort of chasing your little tails there because you don't want to offend anybody and get your ass thrown out of the country. I would rather see you guys do some real reporting. Stand there like a man and say, the Haitian government does not exist. They're not helping their people. They're not doing anything to get anything anywhere. We, you know, if you really want to know what this country needs right now, it's somebody to facilitate the delivery of these things that are vital to the Haitian people. It's the government here that is causing much of the suffering. These guys couldn't find their ass with both hands. Thank you. I'm AC360, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, I'll bet she's 360 going around and around.
Shut up.
Can't say that, man.
I'm AC, and I'm spinning 360. All right, now, the State of the Union address, President Obama is going to be laying it on us, man, and that'll be really interesting. Yeah, sure, but you might be interested to know that the State of the Union address does not constitutionally have to be delivered by way of speech. It can be delivered to the Congress. Carter's final State of the Union was January 16th, 1981, and Reagan took office on the 20th. Thank you very much, Jace, for clearing that up for me, because as I said, you don't have to give the speech. It can be something you just deliver to Congress, and President Carter had the very good taste, as the final State of the Union address was required on January 16th, he just delivered it to Congress. It was written, and he didn't give the speech because, frankly, he probably didn't give a sweet damn by that point. Everything was falling apart, and, you know.
Well, I mean, it wasn't too good.
It wasn't too good. Carter couldn't get out of there fast enough. He was so sick of everything. So he just said, yeah, here's my State of the Union, and, oh, yes, Mr. President. Four more days, going to be Reagan. Yeah, it's great. Good for you. Have fun. Have a ball. Here's my State of the Union. Stick it. So that's what they did, see? Now, the first guy who was required to give a State of the Union, who do you think that was, bud?
Whoa.
Oh, come on, man.
George Washington.
Yes, jeez.
I didn't know if it was him or it was Jefferson.
You gotta be kidding me, man.
That's an easy mistake.
No, it's not. No, it isn't. Washington gave a speech, and he was the last guy to give the speech until Woodrow Wilson. The rest of them, starting with, Adams didn't, and Jefferson, because he didn't think his crap smelled, Jefferson said, well, it's too much like a king, so he didn't do it. So all of these cats would just hand-deliver this thing until Woodrow Wilson decided he would give it before a joint session of Congress. And what do you think happened? People thought it was controversial. They were all pissed off. They thought he was acting like a king, and they thought he was being all this and all that. And finally, as people will do, they calmed down and they said, well, you know, it's kind of cool. There's a president giving a speech. And that's what's happened ever since, except for Carter in 1981. And they all stand there and they say, and ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States, and he gives the speech. Now, Obama will be giving his tomorrow night. And here he previews the State of the Union speech to ABC News, which he says should have some bipartisan interest.
This is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how we can, first of all, focus on job creation and growth, And I met with the Republicans, by the way, several weeks ago, and so I have their ideas. I know what they're proposing, and some of the things we propose are things that actually should get some strong bipartisan support.
Now, in an interview with ABC News' Diane Sawyer, ahead of his State of the Union address, Obama says he's willing to serve one term if that term is effective.
Ever in the middle of all this coming at you, think maybe one term is enough?
I would say that the one thing I'm clear about is that I'd rather be a really good one-term president than a mediocre two-term president. And I believe that.
Now, here is Charles Krauthammer on Fox News, a conservative, responding to Obama's statement he'd be willing to be a one-term president.
Well, there's a third option he didn't consider, which is that he could be a mediocre one-term president. And that's what he's been thus far in his first year.
Now, Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett defends Obama's first term in an interview with Politico.
What the president inherited was not just an economy on the brink. He inherited the largest federal deficit in our nation's history, two wars, a health care crisis, an energy crisis, a public education crisis. In fact, a crisis in terms of how the United States leadership is perceived around the world. And on all those fronts, I think the president has moved the country forward in a very positive direction.
See, of all the things she just said, and she's not wrong. She's not wrong. A lot of problems. And the truth of it is that Bush faced a lot of problems, a lot of crazy problems, a lot of things we'd never seen before. Nobody wants to give either one of these guys a break on the amount of problems that faced each president, and because we are the American people, which means we're looking for it in a minute or less, or we're going across the street to Burger King, it's got to be someone's fault that we can readily identify. That means it has to be the fault of somebody within the last 8 to 10 years. It can't have been endemic or something that's generational or a problem, perhaps, with the way business has been done, say, over the last half century. No, it has to be the fault of one administration or another that we can readily identify within the last 10 to 15 years. That, again, is how the American people think, because, like I said, if they can't identify it like that, they're going across the street to Wendy's, man, for one of them square hamburgers. Here, Obama is discussed by Lee Hamilton. Now, Obama's expected to discuss national security issues in tomorrow's State of the Union address. This week, speaking to a Senate subcommittee, former 9/11 Commission Chairman Lee Hamilton doesn't offer the president high marks on that subject.
My impression that the intelligence community is new, relatively new, to the president. I think he began to receive intelligence somewhere along the campaign. Senator McCain can tell you when that happens. And my impression is that his instincts are probably good, but he's still kind of feeling his way. His preference may be, he said, I've appointed good people here, and he's done some good appointments, I think. But I do not think he has a firm grasp yet of the intelligence community.
All right, so that's a year into his presidency. Obama, we know, appoints people, and then he lets them do their thing. And up to this point, the people that have been doing their thing, I think it's agreed by and large, many of them, I don't want to say most, but many of them just suck at their job. Suck probably doesn't even begin to tell the tale. Does he need to be more hands-on? Yes. Does he need to perhaps take a more personal interest in who's getting hired and why? Yes. Does he need to interject more of his own ideas into the idea process rather than just let a whole bunch of people sit around a table and kind of kick the can around? And yes. Does he need to weed out some of the more liberal or more progressive people in his administration who, are campaigning and continuing to grind the axe for all kinds of unrealistic and, frankly, very unpopular things in this country? Yes. Does he need to have an effective response to the far right? The far right conservatives who are absolutely committed to this man's failure regardless of what he does? Yes. And having said that, coming up next, the stories we can get to. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Yes.
Phil Hendry.
world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Oh, man. All right. We'd like to thank Vernon Dozier for being with us tonight on our show, as well as Lloyd Bonafide talking with us about that. What's that guy's name? O'Keefe? James O'Keefe?
Who?
The guy in that.
Oh, yeah. That guy that was burglarizing.
Yeah, the cat they caught for burglarizing Mary Landrieu's
dress.
No, her office, you jackass. Anyway, thank you, Lloyd, for, you know, you're pretty mental, dude. This whole thing about sniffing somebody's seat. And then we had, of course, our good friend Vernon Dozier. So thanks to both of our guests this evening. And don't forget to download our show, if you didn't hear it, at our website, or watch the video refeed when you'd like tomorrow. In the stories that we couldn't get to, Kiefer Sutherland starts things off out of Stockton, California. Actor Kiefer Sutherland was among cattle customers roped into an alleged scam that netted more than $1 million. Prosecutors say Michael Wayne Carr of Linden had agreements to buy steers in Mexico for his customers and sell them for profit in the United States. Carr allegedly took $869,000 from Sutherland, star of the Fox TV show 24, and $177,000 from a New Mexico couple. Prosecutors say there's no record Carr ever bought the steers. They also say Carr sold steers that didn't belong to him. Well, that man's a cattle rustler. They hang cattle rustlers. Oh, well, not anymore, but Carr is charged with 12 felonies, including grand theft, forgery, and embezzlement. He was scheduled to be arraigned Monday, but a judge postponed it to February the 8th because, frankly, they do want to hang him. And what's the point? No, they postponed it to February the 8th after his attorney was removed. If convicted on all charges, then he's hung from a tree. No, he faces 18 years in prison. I just think it would be fun to see that. A man caught at an airport with 44 lizards in his pants. Dateline New Zealand, a German reptile collector has been jailed for 14 weeks, must pay a $5,000 New Zealand fine for plundering New Zealand's wild gecko and skink populations, according to a judge. Hans Kurt Kubris, age 58, is to be deported to Germany as soon as he's released from prison, Judge Colin Doherty ordered on Tuesday. Kubris was caught by wildlife officials at Christchurch International Airport on South Island in December, about to board an overseas flight with 44 geckos and skinks in his half-sewn package concealed in his underwear. He admitted trading and exploited species without a permit and hunting absolutely protected wildlife without authority, pleading guilty to 2 charges under the Wildlife Act and 5 under the Trade and Endangered Species Act. Now, here's a guy that can hide 44 lizards in a package in his shorts and nobody notices. That's, you know,
pretty sad.
Pretty sad. Anyway, Department of Conservation prosecutor Michael Bodie told Christchurch District Court that Kubis could have faced potential maximum penalties of $500,000 in 6 months. How the hell did they figure out this guy had lizards in his shorts? I don't know. The geckos may have been worth 2,000 euros each on the European market. Wow. That's heavy, man. I guess in my next life, you know, who knows? Man coughs up ring he tried to steal. Dateline Joplin, Missouri. Police in Missouri say a man accused of stealing a ring coughed up the evidence while officers were questioning him. Pictures of the 2-carat diamond ring worth about $20,000 were sent to jewelers in the Joplin area after it was reported stolen when someone took the owner's purse from her car on Thursday. The Joplin Globe reported that the owner of Newton's Jewelry recognized the ring when a man and woman came to the store a few hours after the theft and said they wanted to sell it. L.T. Newton and his staff stole them and called police. Police said the man swallowed the ring when officers arrived. While being questioned, he began to cough uncontrollably and eventually coughed up the ring. The man and woman are charged with receiving stolen property. In other news here, we have the mayor of Moscow. That would be Moscow, Russia. He's known for his overly homophobic statements, but on Monday, he said he would never allow a gay pride parade in the city because it's satanic, saying the marchers should be punished. A gay pride parade cannot be anything but a satanic act, said Yuri Lutskov, who told an education conference, "We haven't permitted such a parade, and we won't permit it in the future." So at least in Russia, they know what they're doing, huh?
Yeah, they're ahead of the time.
Good going there, Yuri. Gay rights campaigner Nikolai Alexeyev reaffirmed that plans for this year's gay pride parade will go ahead despite the ban. "We don't have to make changes. You know, we still plan to hold a gay pride parade. And, forget it." All right, thanks a lot, Yuri. Indonesia. In Jakarta, Indonesian authorities said Monday they're considering a petition to tear down a statue of U.S. President Barack Obama as a boy only a month after the statue was unveiled. The statue of Little Barry, as Obama was known when he lived in the capital in the late 60s, stands in central Jakarta's Menteng Park, a short walk from the U.S. president's former elementary school. Critics say the site should have been used to honor an Indonesian, and 55,000 people have joined a page on social networking website Facebook calling for the statue to be removed. We've been discussing for the past 2 weeks what to do with the statue, whether to take it down, move it elsewhere, or just crap can it. We don't know. We're trying to get, we're kicking around ideas, said Dwi Bintaro. Obama, who was born in Hawaii, lived 4 years in Jakarta, and when everybody had Obama fever, they decided to put up a statue, and now that his poll numbers are down, they think they ought to just take the statue down and pretend like it was never there. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is... No, they didn't say that, but, you know, that's probably what they're thinking.
Yeah, it's just not cool anymore. I think I'd put a bunch of babies.
Well, you know, yeah, they are babies. All right, the Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Till tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Bull crap.
Phil Hendry.